Good evening and a warm welcome to our service this evening here at Romford Baptist Church. My name is Vicky. I'm one of the ministers at the church, and one of the other ministers, Ian, will be sharing our service with us this evening. We're starting with a couple of verses from the book of Jude, and it says this: to those who have been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace and love be ours in abundance. As we start our service this evening, we're going to rejoice in the fact that we can all come. We are all God's people. We're coming to praise our risen King. And Father God, we thank you that we are your people, that we can come and rejoice and sing our praises to you this evening. We thank you that we live in freedom, and we may be restricted by measures that have been caused by a virus, but Lord, we live in a country where we are free to worship you, albeit not in the setting we would wish, but we are free to worship you, to rejoice, to give you our praise and our thanks. And we thank you that you are our morning star, that you are the one who is with us in each and every part of our day, that you love us as your own. And as we come and as we continue in our praise and our worship, we thank you that that love knows no end. Lord, we offer you ourselves. We pray that we will be a blessing to you, because Lord, you bless us abundantly, and for that we thank you. Amen. I'm going to read a few verses from Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm starting at verse 17. It says this: he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. As we sing our next song, as we declare who it is that we believe in, our God, our Father, the God who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we sing our praises and acknowledge who it is in which we believe. You will hopefully have received your notice sheet in whatever format it comes, whether it's electronically or the few that have been posted through letterboxes. And as you'll see, the things that have been going on for the last number of months will continue this week, mostly via Zoom. Includes the Tuesday evening prayer meeting, at which everyone is welcome. This isn't just for a few. This is for anyone who has an hour to spare, or even just half an hour, and you can join us for some of that time. Come and join us for prayer on Tuesday evening using Zoom. Alternatively, you may be of the group of the 18 to 30s, and you'll be joining with Journeys, and the details for the Zoom details are there too. The virtual meeting place will continue on Wednesday morning, and on the evening, the Wednesday RBC is continuing too at 7:45 for our next session of the course Talking Jesus. If you just want to dip in for the last couple of weeks, then we would love to see you and see what you get out of our evening. The prayer needs are on our notice sheet, and we'll be coming to a time of prayer going forward. Next Sunday, we have our morning reflective service at 9 o'clock. And don't forget, you need to book in and use the details that are on our notice sheet. And then we'll continue with our online services at both 10:30 in the morning and at 6 o'clock in the evening. We want to say thank you to you for being willing to continue to give and to ensure that the work of God can continue here in this place, but also as we support our mission partners across this town and across our country and our world. And so whether you're giving directly through the website, through the checks that are coming in, or you're continuing to hold your offering ready for your return, we thank you for that, and we're going to pray now. Father God, we thank you that we can continue to give, continue to enable you to use that money that we give to continue your work here in this place, in this town, in this country, and further afield. We thank you for all those who benefit through the giving that is given by each and every one of us. Lord, whether we give monthly on an ad hoc basis, each week, whether it's directly through a check or we're saving it until we can come again, Lord, in all that we give, may you use it for your glory. Amen. In a moment, we're going to come to a time of intercession. And our theme today is entitled Go Between Us, that sense of being interceders, of being advocates, of being mediators. And as Ian will be bringing the word in a short while, we are going to have an opportunity in our time of prayer to be interceders, to be mediators, to be advocates for those and the world in which we live. And so to prepare us in that, we're going to sing again, Stir a Passion. Let us pray. We were reminded in that first reading from the book of Jude that you promised to give mercy, peace, and love to your believers, to those who love you. In our second reading from Ephesians, we were reminded in those words that you came and you offered peace. Peace to those who were far away and peace to those who were near. And that peace was being offered simply because of what your Son did for us, because he went to that cross. And we have the privilege, we have the blessing of that peace that comes from you, God. That peace that passes all understanding. But Lord, we live in a world that is far from peaceful. We live in a world that is hurting and broken. We live in a world where people seek peace through oblivion, through abuse of their bodies, through seeking to escape from the reality in which they live. And so, Lord, we bring our world before you. Using the song, How Do We Start to Touch the Broken Hearts, Lord, we pray that we can indeed, through our prayers, bring before you those who are lonely, who are bereaved, those whose lives are barren because they have lost those that they love. Father God, comfort those who grieve, who are lonely, who mourn, who have lost contact with loved ones because of circumstances or the way that one has treated another. As we look at our television screens, as we listen to the news, we realize that people are suffering here within our own church community and our own town, but Lord, across our world. And for all those who seek to minister to those who are grieving and who are lost and who are lonely, Lord, we pray that your peace will touch them too. That even though they do not know you, we know that you have peace in abundance. And we pray for your peace to come into their lives. As we continue to think about our world, we think about those who are brokenhearted, for those whose lives have been torn apart because of bloodshed and war and violence, for those whose lives have been torn apart because they continue to be trafficked, who continue to be abused, who continue to be violated, who continue to face injustice. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness when we perhaps haven't spoken up in the way that we should. Lord, you call us to go forth. You call us to send out that message of hope, that message of a new life, that message that people need to turn to you, and yet so often we fail. And so, Father God, we pray for your forgiveness. But we pray that we may be willing to stand in the gap. And as we bring our prayers before you, as we seek to be a voice speaking out against injustice, Lord, give us bravery. Give us insight. Give us direction as to what we can do and the difference that we can make. Lord, you are so lovely, so worthy, so faithful. And yet you call on us to follow you and to pray for the world around us. Help us to display your loveliness and your worthiness and your faithfulness to those that we meet day by day and as we intercede in the world in which we live. And we pray for those who live their lives in fear. Fear perhaps because they've now lost their job. Fear perhaps because of domestic abuse or the violence they may receive or the bullying they may be encountering, whatever setting they may be in. Fear, Lord, causes people to behave in a way that isn't helpful to them. And sometimes we allow our fears to become bigger than you are. And Lord God, you are bigger than all that we face. And for those in our world who are facing that fear of how to feed their families, how to pay for the next month's rent, how to find a job in order to bring security, how to face the determination to fight against that which they are facing and living with. Lord, we pray for courage. We pray for hope. Lord, we pray for hope. We do thank you that you promise peace to all who are close and all who live far away. And in a world where peace and hope seems in such short supply, Lord, may we be the bringers of hope because of the message of hope that we have from you. And may we share that with those who don't yet know that promise for themselves. And as that song ends, with the words, as we go into a lonely world where fear reigns and sorrow fills the air, we go as your spirit comes and your cleansing power you give to share, that the world may believe in you. And that is our prayer, that people will come and people will believe and people will know you for themselves. And as we bring our time of prayer to an end, we're going to have the words of the Lord's Prayer spoken to us. But more importantly, perhaps as we watch the signing of this prayer, as Bernd signs the Lord's Prayer to us again, we think about the signing and what that reflects on how we need to look at you and look at ourselves and look at our world and realize this is not just about words, but this is about you at work in our lives as we pray together the Lord's Prayer.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
Our first reading this evening is from Hebrews chapter 4, and starting to read at verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach the God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. That is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as the sins for the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. And our second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, starting to read verse 4. As you come to him, the living stones, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now you who believe this stone is precious, but those who do not believe, the stone the builder has rejected has become this cornerstone, and the stone that causes people to stumble and the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It was a number of years ago when, as a family, we had a barge holiday. The children were young, and after a day looking around a small town, we returned to the barge. I stood with one leg on the barge and the other on the land, and carefully helped Rebecca and David across. They reached the boat without incident. Then I got aboard myself, but unfortunately, as Vicky tried to board, the boat moved. Yes, maybe I should have continued to hold on to the rope or continued to stand in the gap. And if you know anything about Vicky, you know she hates wet feet. As I stood between land and boat, I was the go-betweener. I was the bridge for the children to cross. In this case, the go-betweener failed and Vicky suffered. Tonight we're talking about the go-betweeners. We are called to be between the world and heaven. And this is not about that phrase you hear every time you go on the London Underground of mind the gap. This is about stand in the gap. As Christians, we're often called to stand in the most difficult places. Between the world and heaven. Our calling is to be in that place to present as Christ would do so. In our readings from Hebrews 4, we see this calling being worked out by Jesus as the go-between. Let's look at that passage again. If you've got a Bible, you might want to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. It starts off with that phrase in verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus and the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess. The sense that Jesus understands us, the sense that Jesus has gone before, gives us the confidence to hold firmly. But in verse 15, we have here a high priest, Jesus, who feels sympathy for our weaknesses. Your view of God may be a God who has a great big stick to hit us when we get things wrong. It might be that you feel that God doesn't understand. And maybe you go through life feeling no one actually understands. But here, the writer to the Hebrews tells us that our high priest has sympathy for us in our weaknesses. God understands us. And Jesus there has sympathy and comes alongside us. Why does he do that? Well, in verse 15 we see, yet he has been tempted in every way just as we are. Jesus knows the power of temptation. Jesus did not sin. Jesus did not yield to temptation. But he understands the power of temptation. Could you imagine being in that desert for 40 days as Satan, as you are hungry and thirsty and you're suffering, and Satan comes and tempts you? Come on, you're hungry. There's bread. You want power? Here's power. Jesus knew what it was to be tempted. And therefore, because of that, he has sympathy, he has understanding with us. But then we see in verse 16, as we read verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. The writer to Hebrew, talking to a sinful people about a Saviour who has sympathy, says we can approach God's throne with confidence. We have worth. God would welcome us. God will receive us because of what Jesus has done for us. What does he say then? As we approach, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That sense of Jesus standing in the gap, the go-betweener between us and God. He has paid the price. He understands, he has sympathy, and we are still, even with our flaws and with our failings, welcomed into God's presence, that we will receive mercy and help in our times of need. How many times have we run away from God because we feel that we're not worthy, Or if God really knew what we were like, he would not accept us. But this passage is directly the opposite to that. Even though we are sinners, even though we have failed, we can approach the throne of God with confidence. As we go forward into chapter 5 and verse 1, we see that Jesus, every high priest, is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer sacrifices and gifts for sins. And Jesus represents us before the Father, and he stands in the gap. But going forward into verse 2, we then see he's able to gently deal with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. The fact that the priest is there and can represent us, yet calls us to account and gently deals with those who are ignorant and going astray. Hold on to that thought for a moment. As we go to the passage in 1 Peter, we've been talking here in Hebrews about the priest and the work of the priest. It's being cited about Jesus, but moved on to the Old Testament priest. And then we read in 1 Peter, writing to the church, he says this: you are a royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. One of the changes in the New Testament from the Old Testament is we all have direct access to God. We don't need to go through a priest. But I want to look at the role of the New Testament priest here in context of our calling of go-betweeners. You see, if you read that Hebrews 5 passage again, you see the role of the priest. And I want to suggest it's a three-part role. It's one of an intercessor, it's one of sympathizing, and it's one of mediation. Let me take us down those one at a time. Firstly, an intercessor. The challenge of bringing people we care about to God in our prayers. One of the things we see about Jesus is that he is interceding on our behalf. He is an interceder and interceding for us. And as royal priests, we are also called to intercede for others. Those who are doing the prayer course will be aware that one of the things about the prayer course is we're praying for five to win one. The sense of praying for five people. And statistically, as through research, we find that out of every five people, one is open and ready to respond to the gospel. They just need to hear about it. And so we want to start off here with interceding for people. You see, when we get serious about interceding for people, praying for people, we become passionate about winning them for God. There's something about talking to God about our friends and our relations and those we love who are lost, and interceding, really praying for them, and we start to find that actually we get a passion for winning them. And so by interceding, we're committing people to God. And we're becoming more of aware of the spiritual warfare that these people find themselves in. I don't know about you, but as you start to look at people who are lost and struggling with faith and moving away from church, you see that they're in a life of tug of war, where they might want to follow Jesus, but there are distractions and there's things that are pulling them away. And in our prayers and in our intercession, we become more aware of the spiritual warfare that's going on in their lives. And therefore, we become open to seeing the Holy Spirit touching their life. And the sense of wanting to talk to God and allow the Holy Spirit and to then get in step with the Holy Spirit to help them on the journey. We become more committed in doing all we can within the lives of these people to win them for eternity. And so as you're calling as an in-betweener, one who stands in the gap, our first thing is to really start to intercede for the lost, for those who need a touch from God. Secondly, is the sympathizers. Sympathizing. Very often Christians can sound very judgmental. In fact, we are very judgmental people, and very often we're very quick to point out the failings of the other and to talk about the ways they should live differently. We very easily find faults with way people don't live in a biblical way, and we're very quick to point them out. But here in this passage from Hebrews chapter 4, we find that Jesus himself was a sympathizer. He understood why people went away, why people failed, and why those who did not know Jesus lived a life that was different. He felt their pain and distress. He understood their temptations. And instead of condemning them, he would come alongside them and journey with them. There are many of the New Testament apostles and characters who would never have been accepted in the 21st century church because people would have been very keen to point out what they got wrong in the past. But Jesus himself is a redeemer. He is a cleaner. He is a transformer of life. And he starts off by journeying with people. And one of the roles of the sympathizing in-betweener is that instead of condemning, we show the way. We all know that song, "Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us." And then it's got that line, "You came from heaven to earth to show the way." And as sympathizing in-betweeners, we need to start finding ways that we can show the way. Not be condemning, not be destroying people, but show a different way. Be people of peace, people of calm. Sometimes it's the call of the Christian in-betweener to be a calming presence rather than being a chaotic evangelist. Yes, there's good times to talk about the faith of Jesus Christ, and it's always good to share our faith, but sometimes it's more important to show our faith. And sometimes in the chaotic world we live, it's being and not doing that is so important. So there's the role of the intercessor and there's the role of the sympathizer, but then there's also the role of the mediator. The mediator, one who sits between to help one understand the other. Very often when you watch court cases, maybe in reality or on TV programs, you have the lawyer, the barrister, who stands up in court and tries to explain what the other needs to understand. Now, often it comes from trying to explain through the understanding they want the other to have rather than necessarily the truth. This week we have seen a Prime Minister who made a great statement, and then Downing Street and other ministers came out to say what he meant by what he said rather than what he said, because everybody had understood something different from what he actually said. Mediation can be a really important thing. And I want to say that one of the things about being a priest, a royal priest, as outlined in Hebrews chapter 5, is that we are there to speak and help understanding. Our God would focus our prayers, our talking to God about the world in which we live, and trying to explain to God if that's what's necessary. But actually, in trying to do that, we find by listening back, we understand far more. We listen and we hear. But there's also standing in the doorway to connect God with people and people with God. When we started the meeting place 18 months or so ago now, we had the vision that it would be a place where the world meets, the church meets the world, and the world meets God. And we have seen that in many ways, where people have come in distress, and through the meeting place, they have started a faith journey. And it's delightful when people come back and celebrate good news and thank us for prayers, because they have begun a journey. That's the role of the mediator. Standing in the gap. It's about providing access and facilitating the relationship. As you read Hebrews chapter 5, it talks about offering gifts and sacrifices to offer to people in humility, in humbleness, to help them on their journey. Our call as priests, our call as Christians and as disciples is to make other disciples. And as a church, we are the halfway house between the brokenness of life and the perfection of the coming kingdom. And to be like Jesus is a high calling. And we as mediators need to introduce God to people and help them to access the creator of the world through understanding, through a journey of discovery that we can share and take people on. The role of the mediator is to sit with the confused and to help them understand and meet with God. The role of the mediator is to help those who want to express something to God to be able to do it. The role of the mediator is to stand in the gap between the bank and the barge, to protect them from falling, to enable them to leave the one to get to the other. Every time we sympathize with someone in pain, every time we advocate for the vulnerable, every time we offer grace where it's undeserved, or practically help someone in need, we fulfill our identity as priests in the world. Let us again look at Hebrews chapter 5 and ask ourselves, are we fulfilling our calling? Every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God. That's your calling. You are called to represent the people, to intercede for them, to offer sacrifice. Goes on. The priest is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since they themselves are subject to weakness. You're called to help others to transform their lives. You are called to deal gently with those who are going astray, those who are lost, those who have no understanding. And you deal with it that way because you too have the weakness and you have been there. And then it goes on, and no one takes his honour on himself, but receives it when it's called by God. This is not about you. This is about God working through you. This is your high calling. Your calling to stand in the gap. Will you allow God to use you? Because you are a royal priesthood, belonging to God. You are called to intercede, to sympathize, and to mediate. That the success of your calling will be the lost coming to know Christ. As you journey with them in love, not judging, not condemning, but journeying to discover that God can do so much more through you, because he has called you, he has equipped you, and he longs to use you. Amen. Thank you for being with us at RBC this evening, and we pray that you will know God's blessing throughout this week. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.